Coming up on this episode of Inside Pop,
we're taking a look at the new season of Donald Glover's Atlanta.
We are also having a reaction to the second trailer for Marvel's Infinity Wars. And I'm going to tell you about my Saturday night hanging out with Bill Hader, Leslie Jones, and Arcade Fire.
What?
It happened.
All that, and of course, the big sell right now on Inside Pop. Hey, y'all. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson, and this is Inside Pop. We are your weekly dive inside the world of pop culture. High culture, low culture. As long as it's popular and cultural, we're talking about it.
Yes, and for those of you who know this show, you know that I am a huge fan of the Donald Glover series, Atlanta. It made the top 10 TV shows of my year 2 years ago, and I am super excited for it to be back in my life. I'm so excited. And season two premiered a couple weeks ago, and we both watched a couple episodes and want to just talk about, you know, sophomore season after winning Emmys for this show and Golden Globes and getting so much praise. The bar was high, obviously. What did you think?
Yeah, the bar was really high. And I think, but I would expect nothing other than this show coming back feeling completely relaxed, not feeling any of the pressure of the first season success. I can't think of a more relaxed, chill, confident show than Atlanta, right? Like, you would have never known that it received all of its acclaim with its second season premiere. It was just being what Atlanta is and doing what Atlanta does and does well. So that was cool. Seeing that it wasn't trying to be something bigger or different than what it did in the first season. So that was good. I know you had high expectations. So what are your thoughts on the second season? And I'll just say, for you, Amita, and our listeners, I've watched the first two episodes. So I know that there's a third that's out, and maybe a fourth by the time some people are listening to this. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be talking about my reaction to the first two episodes.
Yeah, same here. I was out of town this past weekend, so I did not get a chance to watch episode three. But for the first two episodes, I really like how, you know, the first season went in many directions, but it did still have a basic storyline that kind of weaved in and out of the episodes. And it had a couple storylines, but one of the storylines that it really started out with was Earn, which is Donald Glover's character, and his friend Paperboy, who he is managing. And Paperboy is a rapper, but also his boy, and he's just trying to kind of manage his rap career. And the first, you know, season was, there was that through line of everybody getting to know who this rapper was in different, interesting, weird ways. And the second part is now people recognize him and there's expectations about what's to come from him. And so it's so interesting, and it kind of mirrors the same thing as Atlanta was so, you know, so exciting. And now, you know, what's to come for Atlanta. So I like how they kind of, I think, did a little magnifying glass on themselves with Paperboy's character and all of his expectation for him, with all of his expectation that we have for this. So I love that. I think that I really do like to explore this. I want to know what happens to his career, because he's not your typical rapper. He's not your typical anything at this point. He's kind of just like, I don't want to deal with all of the product placement and all the stuff. Like, he just wants to do him. So I like that they're exploring that.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think, okay, so there was a big break in seasons, partly because Donald Glover needed to be Lando Calrissian in the upcoming Han Solo movie. So, but that was part of the reason why there was a long lag between the two seasons. But I also imagine I would love to be in the writer's room for this show, just to kind of see how they beat out characters and plot lines, because there's something that's very aimless, isn't the word, because you do feel like there's a point and the show's going somewhere. But in some ways, it feels to me like an independent film where it doesn't follow the expected path. I think that's what I'm mm-hmm. trying to say. So a lot of dramas, even great dramas, you feel this momentum and you know that it's driving towards something. Whereas with Atlanta, that's not the case. You're not sure where these individual episodes are going, and you're also not sure where the season's going. And I think for me, I find myself enjoying that it's unconventional in that way, but maybe also just craving a little bit more plot structure, which is, I think, one of the reasons why I respect Atlanta and I see the quality of it, but I don't chomp at the bit to watch it. I think there is part of me that's maybe just super traditional, and I like I like my TV shows to have maybe a little bit more structure to them, but I like that he's not doing that and he's doing something different and he's succeeding in doing that.
I see what you're saying. I do. It is different. It's a show that you have to, you kind of need to not have any expectations for, but go along with the journey and trust that you're going to have hilarious moments. I can't stop thinking about Florida Man. And just that entire joke is just still hilarious to me. And, you know, the gator and putting Cat Williams in the episode. There's just like these interesting pieces to it that are really funny. But then there's these other parts about Earn's struggle. You know, he doesn't really have a place to live. He's trying to get some money. He's just trying to scrape together his life. You know, I think his girlfriend comes back into the picture, on and off girlfriend. So I'm interested to see her back on the show. So it's going to be interesting. I think I'm invested in these characters and seeing where they're going, but I know to just not worry about how we get there. Yeah.
And I think there are little moments. One thing that's interesting to me, it's a tiny, tiny moment in the second episode. He earns sneaker shopping with this guy, and the guy just makes this little aside about, oh, you're preppy, what kind of shoes do you like? And Earn says, he answers and he says, why do you think I'm preppy? And that's the only way time that something like that's mentioned in that episode. But I like how there are those little moments that feel very real, like someone, there's this little layer or a little peek into someone's character and you get it, but then other stuff has to happen and it moves on. So I like the show for those moments, because obviously Earn wants to, like we all do, he wants people to think of him in a certain way. And he is different, right? He went to Princeton and dropped out and he's back. But I think he's self-conscious about that. And instead of making a big deal about it, it's just that one quick aside, which I think is really great writing.
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, right after that, he's like, I'm just going to take the shoes. And his friend says, I'm just going to take the shoes because there's a no chase rule. And then that was what was so funny about the scene, where he just talks to the guy working at the store and he's just like, I'm just going to take the shoes. There's no chase policy, right? And he's like, can I help you with a size? And he's like, the guy can't admit, he can't like say, yes, there's no chase policy. His friend basically takes two pairs of shoes and walks out the store. You know, person who works at the store, retail worker, does not go after him. And he just steals a couple pairs of shoes. There's like these cute whimsical like scenarios that they put in the show that I think are hilarious.
Yeah, definitely. It's I mean, I'm not the first person or the 80th person to say this, but there's just something so original about Atlanta. I've never seen a show like Atlanta on TV, and so I think that's pretty cool. And I remember when I didn't watch Atlanta for a long time, even though everyone was raving about it. And, well, no, I guess I'd watched the first episode when everyone else watched it and really wasn't drawn at all. I think it's a slow burn, right? I think you kind of give yourself into it. And so have you read reviews? Are people as in love with with season two called Robin Season? Are they as in love with season two as they are with season one for the most part?
Well, it's funny because I was just reading this article on Rolling Stone about it. And the headline of the article says, Inside Atlanta, How Season 2 Beats the Sophomore Album Curse. And one of the writers, Stephen Glover, who is Donald Glover's brother, says, if the first season is Kanye's College Dropout, this one is Late Registration, which I think is a great analogy.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. But that would, okay, and that would mean in some ways it's a little bit more mainstream. Because I would compare those two Kanye albums in that way too, right? Wasn't Late Registration a little bit more, or had more pop hits?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It totally did.
Okay. Interesting. I like that. Now I want to come up with an analogy, but I'm not going to because I haven't seen all of the first or the second season, so I'll hold my analogy until I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, great. So I know that you're going to continue watching Atlanta because you're a fan. I'm tired of hearing myself complain about how far behind I am in everything, so I'm not going to say that. But I will say that Atlanta will stay in my very, 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 very large carousel of TV shows that I make an effort to continue to watch. How many episodes? I would love it if you said eight episodes of Atlanta.
I believe it might be, actually.
Okay. I appreciate the short season.
Yeah, I believe I appreciate it is that very an much. Eight episode season.
Okay.
But I can't say for sure. If it's not, it's like 10.
Sounds good. I'll finish that around December.
Great. One per month. One per month.
One of the reasons why I was unable to watch the third episode of Atlanta was because I spent a lot of time this weekend watching over and over and over again the trailer to... Now, let's talk about the full title.
Yeah, can we talk about the full titles? Yeah.
Marvel's Avengers : Infinity War Part 1. Is that the full title?
It's Part 1?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be two parts.
Shiza.
I hope that's true. Maybe I'm making that up and I'm misleading a lot of people. No, I'm pretty sure it's going to be two parts. Okay, so a trailer already came out. Minds were blown. So this trailer basically just gives you more. It's bigger, more bombastic. The stakes are high. So the thing that I would love to talk about, Amita, is the fact that people are loving the trailer. Duh, it's amazing. All of our favorite characters from the past 10 years are featured in it. Disney, evil geniuses. But what the thing that everyone seems to be buzzing about is questioning, will some main characters die, right? Because we want stakes. We want stakes. We want to feel the danger. And the only way to really feel that danger is if there actually is the threat of some main characters dying and who those characters will be. So let's ask you, Amita Patel. First of all, what did you think of this second trailer?
Okay. First of all, I'm on the Marvel website and they're saying it's not part one. It's just Avengers Infinity War. But there is a part two coming. So maybe they're just going to call it something else. The war continues.
Right.
The war concludes.
There's still war.
Yes. War and still not peace. So all I know is obviously everybody's super excited about this. We've been talking about this Infinity War for a year and a half or 2 years now. I'm excited for the Avengers to come back, even though we got a little taste of it in Spider-Man and in Civil War. And we've had some really great Avengers coming together in non-Avenger-titled movies, which is cool and fun. This one is going to bring in some of Black Panther. Dora Milaje I saw Shuri in there. And Guardians of the Galaxy, which was always teased that they were going to be part of it. So all I know from watching it was and Doctor Strange, I am a little overwhelmed by the amount of superheroes that I'm seeing. And I am not sure how we can pack all of these huge stars/superheroes in one film and be able to make whatever 135 minutes of whatever you might give us and give me enough of each of these superheroes that I want to see.
Yeah, that is definitely something that I'm nervous about. I feel like Joss Whedon was a mad genius in doing the first Avengers film and giving every one of those characters, not one, but multiple moments, right? You felt like, even though, like, even Hawkeye, who is probably the least interesting Avenger, but even Hawkeye, Black Widow, everyone got their moments. And then that continued really well, I would say actually to a lesser extent in the second Avengers film, but Captain America Civil War, you know, Black Panther, had never seen him before. All of a sudden, he kind of steals the movie. But so I think Disney and the different directors and writers have done a good job with these team-ups and these ensembles, but this is just crazy. It's essentially every single comic book character you can name that's Marvel is in this movie. Ant-Man? Yes. Yep. Guardians of the Galaxy? Yes. So, yeah it's going to be tricky.
Just so many. Doctor Strange, Hulk, Black Widow, Iron Man, everybody. It's too many.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but comic book fans know this. These are the issues that you do get ecstatic about, because all of a sudden it's X-Men and the Avengers and Spider-Man, and they're all there together. So it is kind of following the comic book format. It's what it's all been leading up to, and it's very exciting. Let's see if they pull it off. I mean, I'm hopeful. The trailer looks great, and you know, if you love Doctor Strange, don't go in thinking you're going to get 20 minutes of Doctor Strange. You're probably going to get 7 great minutes of Doctor Strange, because you need to make room for all the others. So, well, here, I have a question for you, Amita. Do you, in order for you to enjoy a kind of escapist film like this, where there are stakes, the world might end, people are in danger, do you feel like you go into a movie like The Avengers or Harry Potter or some other movie, do you need to believe that, oh, wait, someone actually might get hurt, someone actually might die?
Do I need to believe that that might happen?
Yeah.
No, because, you know, the last few of these Marvel Universe films, not a lot has happened on that front, and I'm still a fan and excited to see them all.
Yeah.
So I think, though, what you're getting at, for all of these characters to converge in one place, and frankly, for this to continue, maybe, you know, as we said, our concern is there's too many superheroes. Maybe they should just, you know, possibly have a couple of them not return. Sad. Pour some out. We may lose a Doctor Strange. There's rumors, I think, of losing a Captain America. That would break my heart. That's the one of the Chris's that should stay in this film. There are three, y'all, just so you know.
Wait, Evans?
There are three.
Evans,
Pratt, and Hemsworth.
Oh, and Hemsworth. Whoa, three Chris's in one movie. Wendell, Britt, are you listening? Will you be able to take it?
Oh, maybe he wants Captain America to die just to keep that Chris factor even.
Right. So, you know, think about Game of Thrones, though. That is its show where you are on the edge of your seat, because they have proven from the beginning, from jump, that this is a dangerous world and people are risking their lives and sometimes lose their lives. You're always on the edge of this of your seat with Game of Thrones. The Marvel films have not done that.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, if it's done well, and then the story can continue strong and still give us additional stakes and additional storylines that we're going to, you know, cling to, then yeah. Kill them off. Go ahead.
She's bloodthirsty tonight, people. Bloodthirsty.
You,
well, we'd love
here
to hear what you have to think about the Marvel's Avengers : Infinity War, possibly part one.
Possibly.
We'd love to hear what you guys have to think about this. So tweet us at Pop Insiders, or go onto our Facebook page, Inside Pop, search it, and let us know what you think. Maybe we should do a poll. Which character is most likely to die in Infinity War? Maybe we'll put up a poll and see what people will
we
vote
should
for. Okay. Let us know what you think. And but listen, before you run off to Twitter and start voting on our poll, you have to stay tuned, because we have a lot more coming up after this very short message.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Inside Pop.
It is now time to talk about me and what I was doing this past Saturday.
Someone is really excited to talk about him and what he was doing this past Saturday.
Yes. Yeah, so I went to a dress rehearsal for Saturday Night Live. For those who don't know, when SNL is on, they do a live show, obviously, from 11:35 to 1 a.m., but before that, they do a dress rehearsal, so they treat it like a real show. They record it like a real show, so just in case anything weird happens, they're able to play back the dress rehearsal. So it's a full audience, full cast, full costume. The band does their songs. Everything happens. And so I went to a dress rehearsal for SNL, something I had done once before, years and years and years ago. A friend of mine was writing an article about Coldplay, and they were performing on SNL, and so I went as his plus one, and I think Alec Baldwin was the host, and Coldplay was the musical guest, and God, that was years ago, like 12 or 14 years ago, something crazy like that. But so this was my second time going, Amita, and I have to say, there is no way one can be jaded when you're walking into 30 Rock, and then you're waiting online for a while, but you get up there and it's just imagery from all 43 years of SNL kind of on these big screens. And it's, you know, we've all watched this show when we were kids, probably too young to watch growing up, watching it in college, watching it as adults. It's such a fixture in pop culture. So for me, it was just, as a lifelong New Yorker and fan of comedy, Big thrill to be there.
It's exciting. I'm so jealous. I was just trying to like find a way to get into the Sterling K. Brown SNL, which was last weekend. But I'm so excited to hear about this experience. Bill Hader was the host and Arcade Fire was the musical guest, right?
That is correct. Am I upset that this didn't happen to me next week or in 2 weeks when Chadwick Boseman is going to be the guest star and Cardi B is going to be the musical guest? No, I'm not upset at all. It's fine. So, no, but Bill Hader is great. I mean, in a way, I took it as a blessing because quite often you'll have an actor who's okay, but they're not comedians. So it was actually great. Basically, Bill Hader was in every single scene. He was comfortable. He was relaxed. He was funny. They brought back some of his more popular skits. So it really was a great thing. And one cool thing about the dress rehearsal is they do more skits than what appears in the real show. And I think what happens is the skit or two that gets the fewest laughs are the skits that don't play. So I got to see one or two extra skits. And it's amazing though. They change jokes. I watched a little bit of the show when I got home after going to the dress rehearsal, and you'll see that in his monologue and I remember there was something about his monologue that didn't quite work, and then they changed it up for the show. Weekend Update. There were a number of new jokes. So these guys, these writers in SNL, they work crazy hours all week, and then they're still fine-tuning it up until the very last minute. So that was really cool to see how it wasn't the same thing. Like something just small, for anyone who's seen the show, in the cold open, which is the first skit of the night before the Evergreen show open, Kate McKinnon plays Jeff Sessions. Uh-huh. And when I saw it at their dress rehearsal, she first appears and you can only see the top of her head, making fun of how short Jeff Sessions is. And then she slowly rises up and it got like a decent laugh, but they decided not to do that for the real show. And when they cut to her, she's just there on camera. So just like little tweaks like that. It's interesting. But yeah.
Did they all crack up in the skit with Cecily Strong, who's with Bill Hader in a wheelchair as an older 6-7 year old man. Because they lost it for a good few minutes in that skit in the live show. And I love it when they totally mess up and they just start laughing and they have to like gather themselves. It's like my favorite when that happens. And I know it's a big no-no and they shouldn't do it, but it makes me giggle every single time.
Yeah, they did. They did. They call it in the biz, they call it breaking. Yeah. So they did break. And I mean, because it's just it was a really, really funny skit. And it was ridiculous and silly. And so, yeah, they broke.
Yeah. Because I wonder that. I'm just like, okay, they did this in a dress rehearsal. So they know it's coming. So they shouldn't break. You know what I mean? But it's just that funny that I'm sure if one actor looked at the other and you just give them just a different look, it breaks one of them. And it could just like a chain reaction of everyone breaking, which is just, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's really fun. And we got a little guest appearance by John Goodman. Always great to see him. He is the best. And he's coming soon on Roseanne. I'm sure we're going to talk about that when that comes back.
Mm-hmm. And Fred Armisen was back. You got some really good guests.
John Mulaney, an old cast member of mine from Best Week Ever. He popped up on Weekend Update, so that was cool to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to shout out, John Mulaney, it's me, Sean Johnson. so that was cool to see John as well. So yeah, it was a night of 1,000 stars. It was really great. I'm not a huge Arcade Fire fan, but they gave it their all. They were fun. They were entertaining. They're beloved by many, so I'm not going to hate on that.
You're being so polite.
So, yeah, it was a really fun, cool experience. So I just thought I would share that with you guys. You know, living in New York City, sometimes you do get to do some really cool pop culture stuff. Never jaded. #
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that experience. I hope in one of my lifetimes to be able to go see SNL. I would die to just see a dress rehearsal or a live show, just to have that same experience, to really just kind of see it all come together. And, you know, you get to see everything behind the scenes while they're taping. It's really fun. So cool. Before we get into the big sell, a little note from us and our podcast network, Maximum Fun.
That's right. The Maximum Fun Drive is coming up. It kicks off on April 2nd and it runs for just 2 weeks.
Maximum Fun is going to be running their choicest episodes and offering great gifts for new and upgrading members.
Will we be asking for money? Of course. But it's absolutely the very best time to support this little podcast, Inside Pop. So don't miss it. The Max Fun Drive starts April 2nd.
And now it's time for the big sell.
That's right, Amita, the big sell. It's the segment in which Amita and I take turns recommending something from the world of pop culture to the other. Were you expecting some meandering, metaphorical simulacrum of balderdash?
Yes.
That's going to happen. You know what? I feel like the Infinity War trailer was enough bombast for one episode. You know what I'm doing? I'm like treating it like Donald Glover. Would Donald Glover go on and on about what the big, or Earn, his character? No, Earn would just be like, yo, it's the big sell. We recommend something from pop culture. The other person listens to it, talks about it later. The big sell. So that's my big sell description in honor of Atlanta.
Thank you, Earn / Sean David Johnson. So last week, you big sold me the Wolverine The Long Night podcast. Marvel can't get enough. They're going to put all their stars into one movie called Infinity War. But then they're also going to jump into the podcast space and create and expand the one of their biggest stars, Wolverine, into podcasting, which is amazing. And it's just like, you guys could stop. Like, you're good. But okay, go ahead. Create some more. So Wolverine The Long Night came out just about a week ago. And you big sold me the first episode.
That's right. And I asked you in particular while watching to, sorry, while listening to pay attention to what I think was the amazing sound design. We don't have that on our podcast.
What would our sound design be?
Rain, wind, gunshots, but all happening at the same time. Rain, yeah, wind, and gunshots.
No, that's...
Yeah.
Attack the ears with, with tons of sonic goodness and anger.
Right.
Okay.
So you know, I'm in a constant effort to turn you into a nerd, as big of a nerd as I am. So what did you think of Wolverine the Long Night podcast?
I'm pretty nerdy. And I might get a couple more nerd points for enjoying this podcast as much as I did. I really enjoyed the podcast because I don't listen to a lot of like storytelling podcasts. Like the true crime is a huge genre of podcasting and people, it's a very storytelling based, obviously. And so it was really cool to hear this. And as you said, the sound design really just makes you feel like you're in the room when everybody's discussing it. Like it is a film and you obviously don't have the visuals to it, but you really feel kind of the texture and the atmosphere of whatever they're doing. From as small as just like this one moment where these two cops are interviewing somebody and he stops to, you know, get some air. And then he stops to, you know, light a cigarette. You know, it's just so much detail in that makes you get the sense of his emotion in that moment. He's, you know, found something out and he's freaking out and he's trying to process and he's nervous. It's great. You can really feel that from just like little bits of sound design that's in this podcast.
So I'm so glad you appreciated that. That's what really, I think the sound design and then also the amazing voices and acting of all the people involved, also really impressive. And like you, I'm not a big fan of storytelling. I like nonfiction podcasts for the most part. I like getting information from podcasts. I like hearing opinion. And I really feel like for the most part, I usually go to TV and film for storytelling. But, you know, radio plays, that's the original pop culture entertainment. So I love that it's back and that it's being done so well with Stitcher and Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, listen, anything Marvel puts out, they have a huge machine behind them. It's gotten so much already, so much buzz surrounding it. And so I'm sure it's going to be a huge hit for them. So we shall see what else they will do in this medium. And who knows what other characters might get a podcast. What would be one that you might would like to hear if you could wish?
Oh, great question.
Into existence.
My immediate answer is Storm from X-Men.
Ooh.
Because I feel like she has never been portrayed well in the films. Not by Halle Berry, not by the new person. And I actually shouldn't blame the actresses. I blame the writers and the directors. Storm is one of the most amazing comic characters in all of Marvel. And she's been very lame in the movies. Now I'm like nerding out. Angry nerd.
Yeah.
Angry nerd alert.
Get angry.
But I'll say that maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. There's this one comic by a comic writer named Greg Pak. Greg Pak. And he wrote a Storm series that ran for, I don't know, 10 or 12 episodes. That was great. And I would love to see Storm, Aurora Monroe, the Weather Witch, head of Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, have her own podcast story.
I think that's a great idea.
Thanks. What about you? What about you?
Blah. I am having a hard time nerding that hard. If there was somebody that I'd be most intrigued by for a podcast extension of their story, it'd be Rogue.
Love it. Love it. She's great. She's a great character. Really great character. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like another female character that, again, didn't get that much exploration in the films that we had already made you know? So I feel like there could be some really cool places Rogue could go.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. It's exciting. It's like there's so many different ways to tell stories, and this, I think this Wolverine podcast is a great example of a new old way to tell a story. So mm-hmm. so what is your rating and of this podcast?
I will give this podcast a 3.25.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. This is great. Yes. Awesome. 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 So what do you have for me this week?
Yeah. FYI, just so let me just say one more thing. It's gotten me enough so I'm going to listen to the second episode. So that's huge.
Ooh, that is huge.
Well, because we haven't even heard Wolverine. Like, no offense, spoiler alert. You just don't even hear his voice yet until he's not in the first episode. Right. So I want to hear him.
Yeah.
I want to know what Wolverine sounds like. So
you better work that free month of Stitcher Premium.
I will. How many? Do you know how many episodes it's supposed to be?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll see how long I'll stick to it. But okay. Thank you.
Okay.
This week, I am selling you just a nice little small single. You know, didn't want to overwhelm you with an album. I already gave you an album last time. So just like one single. It's called After the Storm, and it's by an artist named Caliucci's. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
Have you heard of Caliucci's?
I have not.
Okay. Technically, you have. So Caliucci's, you have. Caliucci's, I've just started to discover her and really just started to dive in and find other tracks by her and get into some of her older stuff. And I've really become a fan of her style and her music. She's been getting a lot of play for this song that I'm selling to you, After the Storm. Features Tyler, the Creator, and some little pieces from Bootsy Collins. And has this really fun, low-key vibe to it that I really enjoy. But Caliucci's was also on one of our favorite tracks from War and Leisure by our boy Miguel called Caramelo Duro.
Oh, snap.
For yeah.
Real? Okay.
Yeah, Caliucci's is on that track. So I'm going to just gift you with Caliucci's After the Storm.
Is it sung in English or?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm excited that I had no idea the name of the singer who was on that track with Miguel. So mm-hmm. awesome. I look forward to checking that out this week. I promise it won't take me 8 months to listen to this like I did the last time. I will listen to it right away.
It's just, you know, 3 and change, I think. So you can do it.
I can do that. I believe in myself. Wow, Amita, this episode flew by. Flew
it did.
By like the Falcon gliding over Wakanda about to fight some aliens. That's how this episode flew.
Yes, thank you all for listening. We are going to wrap it up for this week, but please, as always, stay in touch with us. Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders. Head over to Facebook, like us, like Inside Pop on Facebook, and you can now find us on Spotify. Just like to keep saying that because that's really fun to say.
Yeah, that's amazing. We're on Spotify, so that's another place to listen. And you can also go to both InsidePopPodcast.com. That's our official site where you can subscribe and you can find out all about our bios, our secret history, our secret origins. And you can also go to MaximumFun.org. That is the podcast network we're a part of. And you can gear up for the big old fun drive that starts on April 2nd.
And of course, next week we are going to bring you more of film, music, and television, anything that tickles our fancy in pop culture.
Until then, have an amazing week.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.